Last night I had them in my cowboy boots. Good. I got them in my shoes today. I wear them when I play basketball poorly. They're here to help. Cannot make you a better basketball player, it turns out, but they will make your feet feel great. Ideal Feet, 501-537-3100. All right, we play the clip coming in. The woes continue for the Los Angeles Lakers, and their arc seems to be headed down, while the Knicks seem to be headed up, although Pat is not buying into them. What do you make of the Lakers' woes? Is this simpler than fixing the Kansas City Royals' problems?
Well, I think the first thing you got to look at is four things. You have Steve Nash out. His backup, Steve Blake, is out. You have Gasol out. Okay. Those are three of your top eight players. Mm-hmm. So whether how they use them or bottom line is those three guys are better than the guys you got out there.
Okay.
So that's one. And then on top of that, you have a new coach coming in. And he was, I think he brought in his brother or something as an assistant. One guy that's, and you have everybody else on that staff was brought there. And like Eddie Jordan's there. I mean, he was there to help implement the Princeton offense. Well, now he's there, and they scratched that. And I mean, so with those guys being out, with the new coach coming in, with pretty much staying with the old staff, then you're bringing in Dwight Howard and some other pieces, Jameson, Duhon, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, when you watch them, they have definite chemistry issues. I mean, they've got serious, you know, where's this guy? They don't have a good feel for mm-hmm. each other. I mean, and in Kobe's mindset, I mean, this is good and bad, but I mean, he gets to the point where I'm going to take this thing over,
mm-hmm.
and he can't do it anymore.
Why would you want to run a system and take one of the best low post players, even though he is a guard, in Kobe, and try to run that Steve Nash weave in and out of everything?
Well, I think what that does from that standpoint is it create you get Steve Nash going in there, and you, it's just like it's penetration. It gives guys on the perimeter more room. So I mean, I think you're looking at hoping to free some guys off with penetration into the lane, to get kickouts, to get guys running at them so they can play off the closeout, get Dwight Howard picking and rolling.
I could see that, how that could help, right. Dwight Howard with Nash, right. coming
and,
off that
and I
screen.
I think the premise of that is you get Dwight Howard picking and rolling with Nash and get those guys going to the rim and lobbing to the rim. It's going to suck the defense in, which is going to allow Kobe to have more space to play in,
yeah.
get better looks, play with guys that are coming from help situations to running at him that allow him to get maybe take people off the dribble, not as have many contested and tough shots that he's been having to take. But again, and then also you look at him and they're not very athletic. I mean, they get no easy baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they do comes out of a set. I mean, they yeah. don't get any steals. You know, everybody's like, they want to bring back Showtime. Well, when you think about Showtime, I mean, when I think about Showtime, and I played against Showtime, them suckers were stealing the ball. Worthy was out in the lane. Scott, AC Green, they were playing off their defense. Their offense got a lot of hype, but I mean, they were flying because they were, you know, Pat Riley had them defending.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you got, and then now you got Worthy, you've got all these guys in the open floor, you know, and
can't stop that.
You know, it's like a tidal wave coming at you.
And that's no fun.
They get, and here's the problem: when Nash and Gasol come back, and even Blake, the athleticism doesn't really change.
Yeah.
So you kind of sit there and you go, well, it's gonna go up a notch. Well, it may, but again, at the end of the day, they get nothing in transition.
So that's the question. Yeah, if they get healthy, is that enough?
Well, no. I mean, they're second round tops. I mean, they're not yeah. going past second round.
You like Phil Jackson had made a difference?
He would, because it's different. He's more half court. I think his style. I would have been very, very, very interested. You know, I heard Kurt Rambis talking about how he thought Nash would really fit into the triangle, and I don't see that. I don't see that, like, because I remember when I played in it, there was always big guards: Ron Harper, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. Scottie Pippen. But you know, I would have really liked to seen how that would have worked. I mean, because Steve's a great player, so I mean, I think you can put him in any system. But I would have really liked, that would have been very interesting to see.
So you like OKC out of the West, or you like the Spurs, or who are you liking over there?
I like OKC. the Spurs are always dangerous. I mean, they're healthy and good. They can beat anybody.
Did you have to take days off when you got old?
I just came back from a week off. I told Steve I was taking last week off.
And how'd that go over?
Oh, good. I mean, okay. I said I'm feeling beat down, run down a little bit. So
gotta have a rest.
Yeah, put me on the bus.
But later in your career,
put me on the metro over there at UALR and sent me out west to West Little Rock.
I mean, later in your career, though, I mean, did you find where you're like, I mean, it's a grind. I mean, 82 games is brutal.
No, that's the thing that I admired more about the guys. I didn't play a lot of minutes late in my career.
Yeah.
I'd play 10 or 15 minutes. So So I even then, though, I would feel not really great. And I would look over there at Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or Kevin McHale and – They played 40.
Yeah. You know,
I felt like crap, and I'm looking at them going, you know, that's the thing that was always amazing to me, mm-hmm. you know, about Michael, about him being able to play all those minutes and not really get injured except for that one year mm-hmm. with his ankle. Those were the things that were amazing to me, is that the pounding that they took and the beat downs that they took, and they were the focal. You know, they were the focal point of the defense every night. I mean, they got the best defender.
Mm-hmm.
They had the ball in their hands. I mean, there was a ton of stuff. You know, I was running around there setting screens.
Yeah. You were the one beating on the defenders.
I was running around beating on guys and setting screens and popping, and then I was wide open because my guy was guarding them. I'd get a wide open free throw shot. It was great.
What about in the East? Pat made a good point the other day. I mean, Miami's not exactly killing people. I mean, do you think that's a focus thing? I mean, I would assume after winning a title, it's kind of hard to get excited about. And especially after a shortened regular season, it's got to be hard to think about grinding through 82 games.
Yeah, there's always that. But at the end of the day, they got the best player. I mean, they've got by far the best player in the league. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's as good a player as you'll ever see. I mean, he's good. And I think they've hit a lull. They've got a little bit of new guys. The games that they play over the course of the season, there's a lull. I mean, you get burned out a little bit, and every night when they play, they are, you know, they go to Sacramento. Sacramento might have 5,000 people there for the Nets. Well, they're going to have 20,000 there. Mm-hmm. So everywhere they go, it's that team's big game. That's their Super Bowl. So the
only chance of anybody else winning the East if there's injury. D-Wade looks like he's breaking down a little bit.
Right.
But to your point about people showing up for games, what do you think about that whole San Antonio Spurs deal when Popovich sent those guys on a plane, his four best players, right, essentially?
Well,
and got fined.
I thought the league was – I thought David Stern was way off base because they did it last year.
Yeah.
And nothing was said. So, I mean, you can't.
Does it matter that it was a nationally televised game against the Heat?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole premise of the thing.
What if he'd sat him and they were there?
Right. I got, you know, that's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't playing tonight. And so, you know, they put those guys on Southwest Airlines.
Is that right?
That's no joke.
That's funny.
All those four guys flew home on Southwest.
And there's a commercial. That's a great commercial.
So, but I mean, so I, you know, and again, you got to look at the league standpoint. Okay, you're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have this marquee game on national TV. Well, why would you have the Spurs playing four games in five nights?
Yeah.
And that being the last game, and it being on national TV, if mm-hmm. you want, if you're selling your product,
right?
Good point.
You want to be fresh.
So I mean, to me, the league was more at fault than Popovich.
Good point.
Because Popovich did it last year, and nothing was said. Right. And they almost beat them. Last year they went up to Portland and did it and got beat by 45. There are no fines or anything. They go to Miami and they almost win the game and they fine them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hypocritical.
Do we still have our, I don't want to call it a bet, agreement? If the Celtics make the NBA Finals, you have to sit down and watch with me and Justin every game?
Sure.
Okay.
I thought it was one game. I don't know if it's every game.
Well, the chances of them
being unusual. That's cruel and unusual to make you watch every game with us. What about LeBron? Did something change with LeBron last year, or did he just keep doing what he did? I mean, people will say, oh, he's not a closer, he's not competitive enough, he doesn't have that edge, whatever it is. Was it the same thing, or do you think something changed last year that helped him get over the hump?
No, I think just maturity, and I think that he had, you know, he's had a better supporting cast around him. Guys made shots for him in the finals. You know, Miller and all those guys. I mean, they started making shots and opening the floor. And I mean, I didn't see anything. I mean, I didn't see him going into the post anymore. Yeah. I know he went and saw Olajuwon and all that, but I mean,
his post moves consist of, I'm stronger than you.
Right.
I'm going to beat you down and lay it in.
Right.
And not that, like Kevin McHale used to do.
Jordan physically dominated early in his career, and then he kind of figured out he had to do something different as he got a little bit older and lost not a step, but, I mean, he did things a little bit different. He didn't want to go in and dunk on everybody every night. It was probably right. wearing
well, just
him
the,
down.
Yeah, the wear and tear from guys like Joe Klein smashing you when you come in the lane.
There's that. Have you seen LeBron play in person?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I saw him in his first NBA game. It was a preseason game against the Celtics his rookie year.
Oh.
And it was just like, he was like, as big as he is, it was like lightning going up and down the court. It was just amazing.
All the guys that I talked to in the league, they just like, you can't believe how big he is.
Yeah.
It's like 6'8", 260. And you just.
If you could start your team with a guy like that or a guy like Jordan, what would you do?
Listen, nobody would hate on you if you say LeBron because he can cover the point guard and the power forward.
I think in this day and age, the way the game is, I'd go with LeBron.
Really?
Because of I think durability wise, he would. I mean, I don't know.
What do you mean the way the game is?
I just think the game's a more open floor pick and roll game than it was.
Yeah.
When Jordan came through there, your emphasis was a lot on centers, you know, getting the ball to centers and things. It wasn't as high flying and open.
Who changed it?
I don't know. I think what they did, you know, they didn't want to have 75 to 70 games, so they changed the rules to where they want an open floor, up tempo game. And then I think coaches evolved too from the standpoint of general managers and owners saw that this style was attractive, that this style people wanted to see, that people would pay to see. Mike D'Antoni style, you know, they didn't want Mike Fratello when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers and he would milk every possession and it would be 75 to 74. He would win, but it was like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
We're not going to pay $100 a ticket to come see this. We want to see him flying around, lobs and dunks. And so I think that had a lot. I mean, Michael Jordan or LeBron, that's a tough. I mean, I just here sitting there thinking about it, I just was sitting here thinking to myself, I was like, you know, how could you say something so stupid like that? You know, so I mean.
You could go, I mean, you can make a great argument either way, I'm sure.
I wrote
a column several years ago. It was about probably 3 or 4 years ago that he was going to be the best player of all time. I mean, because of his freakish athleticism and his ability to kind of do whatever.
The thing that Michael has on him right now, Michael mentally was a beast.
I always will see LeBron as a little, like he needs.
He'll go away.
I don't want to say he's not an alpha dog, but you know MJ, when he walked in any room, it was his room. And I think LeBron just feeds off of guys like D-Wade, giving him that constant support.
Right.
A guy like Pat Riley,
right?
I think he loves being able to be associated with a guy like Riley.
Michael didn't need anything.
He didn't need
Michael
that.
Was like, oh, y'all get out. You know, I got this. You know,
Kobe's got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Kobe's got a lot
Kobe
of that.
Kobe and Michael are very, very similar. Yeah. Very similar in that aspect. And I think that's where the frustration with Kobe's coming in now is it's like, I can't do this like I used to. I mean, he can still get 40 and stuff, but he can't lock down the best guy and take the game over.
Speaking of frustration, bringing up young guards always quite a task. And
yes.
Your young guards are exciting. I will give them that.
It has been
– I've only gotten to see them a couple times in person, but you got some nice pieces, and they are they're dangerous. I mean, I know they're dangerous to both teams occasionally, but
right. Now they're kids, man. I mean, they don't want to hear that, but I mean, in the aspect of college basketball,
they don't listen to our show anyway, so don't worry about it.
In the aspect of college basketball, when you're talking college basketball, they're kids. I mean, they're freshmen. They're being thrown into the fire. John Gillen and Josh Hagans are very, very talented, but there's that. As every high school kid has that goes to college, you're used to you got the ball in your hand, and I'm taking this cat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need a shot. I'm gonna take him, and then all of a sudden, that ain't happening no more.
Yeah.
You can't do it consistently. You know, you can do it every now and then, but you on a consistent basis, you can't do it. Then you end up getting sporadic play every night. You know, it'll look really good, and then you have a crazy looking turnover or a crazy shot taken, and it's from inexperience, it's from them, you know, not experiencing things that they're going to see in, on a night-in, night-out basis. So
you must appreciate that competition each day in practice, those two young guys battling, and even Ben Diller, just a bunch of the guys you have.
No, it's good. I mean, we've got a talented group, but I mean, it's just the inexperience, and also with that comes, especially with seven freshmen, you got to come every day. Mm-hmm. You got to come every day to work. You know, you got to show consistency to the coaching staff every day that you're going to do certain things. You don't have to come in and make every shot and do things, but from an effort standpoint and from the things that you could get away with in high school, that you could do in high school, pretty much practice when you wanted to practice. I mean, I was one of those guys, so I mean, you were too.
Yeah,
I mean, you could come
in
there and you could clown around, and then in the last 15 minutes of the scrimmage,
turn it on,
team win, and you score every point, and those days are gone, you know. And so that's where, you know, you got to get the consistency with the work and what you're doing. It's a grind, and it's hard on young minds that, you know, every day they're challenged and they got to mature quickly.
What's it from a basketball standpoint, Joe, as far as the way the league shapes up? What do you see happening here with the changes? And of course, like, you know, Middle Tennessee's been a staple forever, you know, and you see teams like that are leaving the league. What does that do from a competition standpoint?
Well, I mean, we don't like it because, I mean, you know, they are a great, those guys, Western, you know, they've been strong for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always good in their non-conference. They give the league a lot of credibility. You know, they beat Ole Miss the other night. So, I mean, they're a strong, you know, athletic department, great coach in Kermit Davis, and you know, it hurts us. There's no doubt. I mean, it's hard to replace something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't like seeing them leave. It hurts our league. Our league is still going to be good. It's a great league. It's always a very even league. I mean, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
The conference games are great. Every week there's four or five, you know, there'll be five games and four of them will always go down to the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a great league, but we're going to
miss. That's one thing you're going to get about Trojans games. We always talk about it. It could be up 10, down 10. It's coming down to the last couple of minutes. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, I've seen up 20, down 20.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It's league-wide.
It's amazing how that happens.
It's league-wide. I mean, it's very rarely do you sit there in the last 5 minutes and go,
Yeah.
I wonder what old Dana's cooking for dinner. She better be in that kitchen right when I get home.
I promise you that never crossed your mind, no matter what the score is. What do you guys have a tradition that's unique or something that you look forward to as far as the holidays?
Just family, you know, everybody getting together. You know, Thanksgiving. We were unable to do it this year. Usually, my family comes in for Thanksgiving and Dana's comes in for Christmas, and it's just hanging out with family.
You were in Mexico this year, right?
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Tough
deal. I had a turkey burrito.
I like it.
But it was good. I mean, you know, it was fun to be down there with the guys. We had a good trip. But, you know, it's mostly just family, hanging out in the kitchen, watching the game, talking stuff to each other.
I understand.
You know, it's pretty low-key, pretty laid-back.
It hasn't changed.
No.
Just like the old days.
No.
Well, Joe, thanks for coming in.
All right, brother.
Trojans, 2 o'clock tomorrow and then 7 o'clock on Monday night.
Two good games.
Both those games will be right on the buzz here. Joe, quick before you get out of here, we've got a couple questions for you here. The Big Bad Duffer. Go ahead. Duffer.
Big Bad.
Perfect. Great question. Best one today.
That's the best question I've ever had.
Well, you answered it beautifully. Joe's in Conway. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Joe. Hey. Every time Christmas rolls around, I remember one year we were at Best Buy there at Little Rock in Big White Suburban pulled up, and it was you. And I'm assuming it was probably your dad and your brother because these 3'10" or 6'11" guys piled out this Big White Suburban right in front of Best Buy. But hey, Joe. But anyway, hey, I had a quick question about when you were.
Did his license plate say Slater Moe?
Yeah.
Well, that's how you know.
Hey, well, when you were with the Bulls, of course, we won way too much Chicago Bulls basketball back then. Of course, followed Pippen through college and then followed him as he, you know, went to the Bulls. But it seemed like every game it would always stick out with post play down to Bill Cartwright, and then he would never touch the ball again the whole game unless he got an offensive rebound or something.
Exactly,
but,
right.
But it was funny because I don't. He's probably a defensive something. He messed up defensively, but Jordan would get in Cartwright's face, and Cartwright just had that face, you know, just that look on his face, like, "Oh, what did I do?" I just wondered this. Did Jordan ever get on you for something like that?
Oh, God.
That is hilarious that you mentioned that about Cartwright.
He and Larry Bird, I mean, they were relentless.
Really?
They were relentless competitors. And, I mean, now they didn't get on you senselessly. Usually when they got on you, it was warranted.
Okay.
And so, I mean, and that's what made them great because they were so driven, you know. It's very easy when your best players are your hardest workers and most driven. You know, everything. It's a coach's dream. It's a coach's dream.
So what? Give me something. Give me an example. What'd you get into it with them?
Oh, I mean,
you never got punched in the face like somebody did.
I mean, you know, just
what was Bird like? Come on, Big Joe, you gotta help on that pick and roll.
Right. Yeah. If you mess up or you didn't do what you were supposed to do in the triangle or on a play, or if you didn't screen the guy and get him open, or You were here or there or fumbled something or
fumbled one of his passes,
threw something away. You know, it was like, you know.
You can't say that on the air, Joe.
It wasn't fun.
The hick from French Lick gave it to you.
How many Miller Lights did you have to buy Larry to kind of smooth it over?
That young man could drink some Miller Lite.
What do you mean could? He probably still does.
Ain't no doubt.
There are a couple times I sat down with him and thought it was going to be a cakewalk and
didn't go too well?
Needed a cabbie.
The entire city of Boston still drinks Miller Lite just because of LB.
He was good. He could go, boy.
So if you're starting a beer drinking team, is he your captain?
Oh, number one pick.
Okay. I love it. You're the man. Joe, have a great Christmas. Right. If we don't talk to you before then.
See you guys.
Tell the family
hello. Come out and watch us play.
See you Saturday. See you Monday.
See you guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate you.
You know, Coach, you can drink beers with Larry.
Yes.
Like Larry, and we can smoke cigars like Michael.
Or Red Arback.
Or Red Arback at Maduro Cigar Bar and Lounge. They have them both.